So don't take the.
We won't take the.
Yes, let's be the.
Pods.
In Springfield.
Episode 28 of Pods
in the Key
of
Springfield. Pods in the Key of Springfield.
A Simpsons podcast about The Simpsons. Yes. Hosted by your friends, me, Nick.
And also me.
Your friend, Jekyll.
James, the other guy.
Your two little pod boys.
Yeah, Jekyll's a nickname I have, by the way. I don't know if we've ever addressed that on the show, the fact that you occasionally call me by a different name. I've said to you, you know, call me by my name and I'll call you by yours.
Well, what if I call you Ishmael for the rest of this podcast? How's that going to go for you?
If you want.
Do you want to get into the story of the nickname?
No.
I feel like in recent years, I've told your nickname origin story more often than you.
Maybe we have told on this podcast. I don't know. I had a teacher who thought my name was Michael, but it's not. There we go. That's the story.
Okay. I tell it better, I think.
Probably.
Today on episode 28 of Pods in the Key of Jekyll, we are doing season 3, episode 14, Lisha the Greek. And season 3, episode 15, Homer Alone.
Just to clarify, that was not a Greek accent. That was you doing Lisa's pony again.
Yeah, that was me. That was me doing a Polish accent from the pony remark. An episode of a different show. And Homer Alone, insert Macaulay Culkin scream face.
Yes. Two, I'm going to say minor episodes.
Minor in the music key sense.
Minor in the sense that there is a lot of digging.
Minor in the sense that they're under the age of 18.
Minor in the sense that, nope, those are all the definitions of minor.
Minor like a variety of bird.
Yeah, sure. Like a minor bird.
Like a, yeah.
Yeah, minor in the, minor in that they make shoes, or is that a milliner? Do milliners make shoes?
No, cobblers make shoes. Milliners make hats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Millionaires. Who wants to be a millionaire? Homer and Lisa the Greek. That's why he's gambling so much.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So this is the episode where Homer and Lisa bond over American football, over the NFL.
Yeah, so more specifically, the gambling of on. I really can't do anything today. I'm falling apart.
What is your relationship with prepositions like? Speaking of relationships, should I mention that it's Valentine's Day?
And should
here,
you?
And here we are, like a couple of bloody randy little pod boys just sitting here recording a podcast.
Yeah, we are your randy little pod boys. That'll be the slogan on the first shirt we release.
Did you say first shirt or fish shirt?
I said first.
Cool, because remember when I was like, we're doing a design of a fish shirt, are we?
Yeah, they'll just, only be sold at fish concerts.
Just a cartoon of a fish. Under it, it just says, your randy little pod boys.
The worst shirt design imaginable.
This is very early in the episode for me to be saying such shit. American football,
your favorite band.
/ Gridiron.
Yes.
And the betting thereon.
Yes, thereon.
We'll put it that way.
Charlize thereon. Yes.
And Homer turns out to be an absolute monster, let me tell you.
That
was the correct actress, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a reference. That was for you, Shlee. It's nice when you have a number of listeners that is so small that you can individually call them out when you make jokes that you know that it will appeal to them.
Hope you like that one, Dwayne.
Dwayne, huge fan of me commenting on listenership numbers. He's always said that. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about here is when we see Homer eating all the snacks while he's watching.
Yeah, he's got four or five different snacks on the go.
Yes, so there's a dip of completely unnamed variety.
I like to think there are two dips. I think one of them is hummus and the other one tzatziki. That is my guess on the dips.
See, Homer doesn't strike me as a hummusman.
No? You don't think he's chowing on hummus?
No, I think it's going to be some far more.
You think like French onion, maybe?
French onion, cheese and chive, one of those type of things.
Mm.
Or maybe one of the, sorry to our American listeners, maybe one of the more horrifying things like...
Queso?
No. The dips, which are basically just like, hey, get some cream cheese and some poached chicken and some spring onion and mash them all together until it's a dip. And I'm like, sorry, you've got a dip where one of the main ingredients is poached chicken. And you haven't called it a dip, you've called it a salad. You've called that chicken salad, but it's a dip.
I mean, one of them really looks like mashed potato, which seems like an odd thing to be dipping chips into.
I think I'd be into that.
You reckon?
I might give it a whirl. I mean, not now. I've got no potatoes. But later, when I got some potato.
Yeah, go get some potato. Some later potato.
Some later potato from Faster Pasta. Because KFC chips into potato and gravy, that's great.
Is it?
It is. It's wonderful. And I reckon crisps, to use the British lexicon, I reckon crisps in mashed potato would be pretty good too. But I took down as many names as I could of the snacks that he's got.
Okay.
There's one that's called Barbecue Chips.
Barbecue.
Bar-B-Q. There's no hyphen after Q. That was a mistaken hyphen.
Okay.
There's a thing called Crunchy Corns.
Crunchy Corns?
Are they corn chips? Are they ears of corn? We don't know.
That's a good name for a product.
It's a fun name for a product. Mm. Better than Butterfinger. There's pork rinds.
Okay, yeah, he's big on pork rinds.
Pork scratching, big fan. And then there was by his feet, there was like an aqua kind of coloured box. And all I could make out was the word salt.
He's just eating a box of salt, you think?
I think there was a second word under it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Are these like salt crackers? Some kind of crackery?
Oh, maybe, like a saltine.
Mmm.
Maybe, I don't know. It just said salt. And I thought, you know what, that's probably good enough, really.
Yeah. He's just eating a big box of salt. Have you ever sat down
and eaten a big box of salt?
Turned on your favorite sport, sat down with some salt, and just chowed into it?
I mean, potato chips are mostly salt, really. Mm. Weight by volume, they're like, what, 128% salt?
Yeah, something like that.
So
close to.
I feel like sitting down with a big old bag of potato chips is not that different from sitting down with a big old box of salt.
Mm.
I've only bought a box of salt once.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was fancy salt.
Because you were going to watch the Super Bowl.
No, I've watched the Super Bowl more than enough times for my liking. Thank you very much.
How many times would that be?
I've watched the Super Bowl 4 times.
Really? Because I've only watched it 3 times.
I feel like.
And I like NFL more than you do.
Yes, you do. I feel like it is odd that I watched it 4.
Yeah, but I should also clarify the total number of NFL games I have actually watched is 3.
Yes, Super Bowl is the only game I watched.
Yep. One of them was on the day that Philip Seymour Hoffman died, so wasn't really in the mood to watch it either.
Yeah. Was he buried in the ground?
No.
At the ground they were playing on, at the field?
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, seems like a missed cross-promotional opportunity.
One of them I got drunk for, and that's bad in Australia because the Super Bowl starts here at about 8:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Last time I watched the Super Bowl,
first
beer for me was at, I reckon, 11 a.m.
Sure.
And then...
You were at the university and you went to get a coffee.
No, not that story. First beer was at 11 a.m. I had some people over at my house. We took the Monday off work. You were there, actually. This was at the Waratah house.
Oh, really?
And I had my deep fryer going and I made wings.
Wait a minute. Well, I was at your... So I've seen it 4 times as well then. I don't recall this. Did I drink? I must have. Shit.
Yeah, you were drinking Blue Moons or Sierra Nevadas. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
But, so that was there. That was happening. And then that night I went and played an acoustic gig. Got on stage at about 11 o'clock after 12 hours of drinking beers. And went to play a song that I, at that point, I'd been playing this particular song for about 8 years. Couldn't remember it. Got to the chorus, couldn't remember the chords, couldn't remember the words. Had to apologize. Everyone stared at me.
Standard Monday.
Just another standard Monday.
Wish it was Sunday.
Just another standard Monday. While Homer is eating all the snacks, he makes a phone call to Little Mo.
Little Mo.
To place a little bet on the little football game.
Yes.
This phone call does not last very long. It's, here's my name, here's my bet, here's the team. And then when he gets off the phone, nearly all of the snacks are gone.
That's true.
I found that very jarring.
Not just like he's finished them, but they've disappeared.
They're gone. He's eaten the packaging.
Is it possible that there was some sort of universe crossover during this phone call?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you're always talking about, you have all these theories. There's like a, something about like an omelet universe that flips in on itself. And
I don't recall saying anything like this.
You don't recall saying...
I don't recall saying anything.
Wait a minute. Is this the ultimate alternate universe podcast that I've ended up on?
Would you like an omelet, co-host?
Tell me, when is your birthday?
3rd of January.
Fuck. Okay. You know what? I'm just going to roll with this, I think. Even though you are the doppelganger, Nick.
Just to be clear, that was me going, what's the opposite of December? Not being able to do the maths in my head and deciding January was good enough.
Not being able to do the maths? What equation were you trying to do to arrive at the opposite of January?
Honestly, it was December minus 6. In some weird algebraic formula that's gone completely
Which
wrong.
Which would be, what, like June?
Yeah, June.
Okay, well, I know you're not the real Nick, because the real Nick would have put in the effort to arrive at the correct number. So.
I very much doubt that.
Alright, so for those keeping up with our bullshit,
sorry,
this is the doppelganger version of Nick, I guess.
And we've recently had an influx of new listeners, and then I dropped this bullshit on them. I'd like to apologize to everyone.
Yeah, go and listen to our back catalogue. And you will, on some level, at least, understand the semblance of the bullshit we are trying to get into here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally. So then, Bart and Marge go shopping for new clothes. Have you got anything you want to talk about before then?
I got a bunch of stuff here. There's a few different things here.
I might let you take the lead for a bit.
First of all, I would like to ask you. This episode is all about betting on sport. Have you ever bet on a sport?
Yes. Heaps. And here's, look, I'm even putting square brackets around it, James. That's the point that I was going
to
make.
Okay. Well, we can circle back to that. I got other things
because I do want to talk about this. Because okay. Yes, I have bet on sports. And I've won a couple of times and lost heaps others.
I've bet on exactly one match of sports.
How'd that go?
One sporting match.
How'd that go?
It was Adelaide versus Melbourne at the soccer. They were kicking the ball around the field.
Yes, the round ball football.
I made a very specific bet.
The world game.
Yes, the game of worlds. You know, in the game of worlds, you win or you die. That's what they say. But I bet that
Isn't
Adelaide...
that Risk, the board game?
Yeah, in the game of Risk,
okay.
You win or you die.
So Melbourne and Adelaide were playing each other in a game of the board game Risk.
Yeah, but they were playing it with a soccer ball, so it was very confusing.
Oh, how are you going to move the little pieces around?
You kick them.
Fuck.
But, I bet that Adelaide would beat Melbourne 3-1.
3-1.
3-1, which is a relatively high score for a game of soccer, but sure. Not like ridiculously high.
Hmm.
About 70 minutes into the game, Adelaide was up 3-1.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay,
ooh,
I should be happy right now, but actually I'm just really anxious. Because now I should want Adelaide to score another goal. I would like this to be like a runaway victory. Hmm. But if they score another goal, that'll mean I've lost my money. So I reached this weird point where I wanted them to score a goal, not because I didn't want to win the money, but because my anxiety would go away if they just kicked another goal.
Interesting.
So they did, and then I could just enjoy the game as a game from then on. So I would never bet on sport again if I was going to watch and enjoy it, because it just ruins your enjoyment of the game.
Interesting. The last big bet that I won is one that I had forgotten that I had placed until about half an hour after the game. And then I went, wait, I reckon 5 weeks ago I placed a bet on this.
Yeah.
And then that was a much nicer way of doing things. Betting culture in Australia is what I want to talk about.
Sure.
So my understanding is that Australia spends more per capita on gambling than any other country in the world.
That makes sense. You can't go anywhere without getting a sports bet app.
Yes.
Yep. On your phone, on your television.
And the interesting...
Injected into your veins during the night by a team of scientists that says they're just doing research, but you're starting to suspect there's something a bit more going on. It doesn't seem like a normal thing to do.
The interesting thing about this betting culture in Australia,
yep,
is that it, I think it pervades down to kids a lot. Because I remember this episode and an episode of Fawlty Towers.
Of course.
Why not? That's what I'm going to talk about. So the line, you know, there's a line in this episode where Homer says, oh no, we've got to keep this from Marge because she thinks betting is wrong. There's a whole episode of Fawlty Towers, of British late '60s, early '70s.
People are familiar with Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how well received it is in America, and over half our audience is from America.
That's true.
I just don't know.
Okay.
I've
never seen it myself, so I don't know.
That's strange to me.
Yeah.
A whole episode of it is based on husband Basil has won a lot of money and on a bet, and is trying to hide it from wife Sybil. And then eventually she finds out and it all goes to hell. And like watching both of these episodes as a kid, Fawlty Towers and The Simpsons, I was thinking, but you won money and betting's fine. Can't you just go to your spouse or significant other and say, hey, check out all the fucking money I won. And they'll be like, oh, sweet, cool.
We can finally fix the fault in this tower.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so I find it really strange that I don't know if those episodes properly reflect the betting culture in those countries, or if it was just used as a literary narrative device. But comparing it to my experience as a kid growing up in Australia, where betting is so inculcated into you as a fine thing to do, I've found it a very interesting episode to watch as a kid.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the culture has shifted a little bit since then.
In America or here?
Here a little bit, just because maybe betting is still looked upon very, you know, is not that big a deal. Gambling, I think, is maybe pushed on a lot harder than I remember it being pushed as a kid.
I find it interesting that you draw a distinction between those.
Well, I think, I mean, functionally, they're very much the same basic thing.
So, you mean wagering money on a sport is betting, but playing a poker machine is gambling?
I would say strictly by definition, that's how I would make a distinction between
those
terms.
That's really interesting.
Because I guess gambling is just you put in a dollar and you have a chance of winning more dollars, whereas betting is trying to determine the outcome of something that is not just random chance.
Okay, I see what you mean now. That's interesting.
Hmm. Is it though?
Oh, I've never drawn a distinction between those two words. That's why I found it. That's why I was taken aback by that.
Okay.
And so, yes, because there has been a push against poker machines in Australia.
Yeah.
Do we need to translate that for our international listeners? They're called poker machines overseas, aren't they?
You know, the slot machines.
Slot machines.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the big vending machines.
The ones that Dougie won all the money on in Twin Peaks, where he's pulling the slot saying, hello! I assume most of our listeners at this point have watched Twin Peaks.
Sure. One of the hosts hasn't. Guess which one it is. Cool. That's all I wanted to say about betting culture in Australia.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Marge at the
start. I should have done that in my professorial voice.
Damn. What, the whole thing?
Yes.
But you want to do another run?
Betting culture in Australia. Episode of Fawlty Towers, you see.
Marge encourages Lisa when she says that she has trouble connecting with her father. Marge says, well, why don't you try to bridge the gap by pretending to be interested in the things that he likes?
I think initially she says, have you checked the Wi-Fi password?
What?
It's a connecting joke.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to say, wouldn't it be funny if 1991 Simpsons existed in 2018?
Simpsons modern?
What if Simpsons modern? Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe Bart get iPhone?
Oh, that doesn't seem very likely.
Lisa, drive Tesla. Elon Musk, guest star.
Sure.
Yeah.
Homer goes to space in Elon Musk Tesla.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
God, we should... Matt Groening, if you're out there...
Matt Groening.
Al Jean, I suppose, is probably in charge these days. Jeannie, if you're out there, if you're listening, buddy, get us on the fucking show.
Okay, let me pitch this to you.
Okay.
I dream of Al Jeannie. Is that Bewitched?
Where is this bit going?
Oh, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere at all.
So Marge gives Lisa what I would say is bad advice, but she also is listing things that she will occasionally do for Homer to sate his needs. One of them, it's implied that she does things in the bedroom she's not that, you know, enthused about.
Sure.
But she also says she pretends she's interested in power tools.
Right.
I feel like this is a part of Homer that slips away entirely after the third season or so.
Yeah, it is a very inconsistent attribute, isn't it?
I think
it?
At some point he tries to build her a spice rack that might be in season 4. He tries to, like, he's often portrayed as a guy who has an interest in building things but is fairly bad at it, but I feel like that goes away.
Yeah, I feel like it does too.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But have that's a weird thing. Like, pretending that she's interested in power tools is very much a gendered sort of thing with a...
Have you got any interest in power tools?
Interest in power tools? I often feel like I should. I feel like that's the societal pressure upon me.
Ah.
That I feel like I should have more of an interest in power tools than I do.
Interesting.
I don't own a drill.
Right.
Yeah. No, which is how you would get a bottle cap out of a bowling ball, I think.
Oh, you were trying to figure out the physics of that. See, it's interesting.
Which is in the next episode, but I'm jumping ahead a little bit because I was watching the thing. Wouldn't you just get a drill and drill in and then pull it out?
Interesting. The ridges on the bottle cap might scuff up the inside of the finger hole, though. You might end up with a rifled finger hole.
I guess you don't want that. Although, how sharp are those ridges, really?
Nick says, the second Nick says, haven't flushed a ball. Mm. That implied to me that there's a cavity inside the ball that all the fingers or holes are connected to. And you plug one of them up, you send water rushing in, and then the bottle cap just goes and comes out.
Huh.
With a cascade of water behind it.
Well, we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but yes, you might be right. I might be crazy, but it just might be a lunatic you're looking for. This is a house divided. There are real problems within the Simpsons house.
Was that a Carly Rae Jepsen lyric?
No.
Oh.
There are real problems in the Simpsons house in this episode. We have Bart, who is being a miscreant. He's burning plastic small soldiers on the front yard, little army men.
He's burning Soldier Boy.
Marge, we've just found out, is sort of being coerced into actions in the bedroom that she maybe isn't that keen on.
Mm-hmm.
Homer is gambling away all of their money. He is, sure, at the start of the episode, losing. Lisa is facing the harsh realities of life. She is unable to connect with her father. She's already aware of the economic downturn, it seems. She's like, when she builds that Malibu Stacy house.
Pronounce it correctly. Here on Pods in the Key of Springfield, we like to say economic downturn.
Economic downturn. Misappropriation. Maggie is badly in need of a bath. She's being bathed in the sink, you know. She's a dirty little baby. Everything's going wrong.
Okay.
At the start of this episode, the house is in turmoil.
That summary of the five...
The falcon cannot see the falconer.
What?
What rough beast slashes towards Bethlehem to be born?
Are these Carly Rae Jepsen lyrics?
Those were, yes.
Let's slip... Oh, God. Let's slip the dogs of war. Okay, yes, there are some problems in the Simpsons household.
Mm. Yeah, and do any of them get resolved by the end of this episode? Let's power on. And
let's power on.
Find out. Did you notice that every single TV channel, when they're watching the TV, is focused not just on the sport that's happening, but on gambling on the sport?
Yes.
He's flicking between the channels. One of them's Frink with his Gambletron.
Mm-hmm.
One's Smooth Jimmy Apollo talking about...
Sure.
What to bet on. There's the show-in of the week. There's a lock of the week.
Yep.
Really gambling-centric television.
Gambling's very pervasive.
Or betting, should I say.
Oh, betting.
Oh, ho, ho.
Oh, ho, ho. Oh, betting.
Oh.
Some Mothers Do Have Them reference there. I'm really crunching down on my 60s British sitcoms today. It's all right, everyone. I'll get to Mad About the House soon. Don't you worry.
Mad About Shoe.
Yeah.
Steptoe and Son. That was a good show.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And, wait, was that the one with... No, Open All Hours was the one with, Granville, fetch a cloth.
Yeah, I've seen that show, but I don't remember many things about it.
One of the two Ronnies was in it.
All right.
Marge and Bart go shopping for clothes.
Yes, they do.
Every single shirt that Marge picks out, and once again, I implore people to go to Frinkiac and look at these. Every single shirt that Marge picks out would look absolutely unequivocally at home on the streets of Melbourne today in 2018.
That is true.
Yeah, that's the only thing I noticed. Because clearly in 1991, they were drawn as, who the fuck would wear these, right, guys? And now all the guys are wearing them.
Yeah, not that there's a problem with that necessarily. You know, whatever you want to wear. We've dressed like idiots at all times.
I'm 31 and I still dress, and I have a description for this. I still dress like a teenage extra in an Avril Lavigne video.
Like a skater boy,
mm-hmm,
who she would say, see you later, boy, to.
Oh, no, she's not speaking to me. I'm
see you
extra.
Later, boy.
What the hell happened to my boy?
Yeah, I like this scene.
He was
a skater
boy. She said, see you later, boy.
Boy. It's a weird bit. But we're going to keep doing it forever.
He wasn't good enough for her.
So, I like this scene because
The clothes shopping scene?
Yeah, I remember being a child. I was young once. And having to go clothes shopping with your mum was a real pain in the ass. I didn't like it one bit.
No, it was the worst.
It was the absolute worst.
Actually, I think that even as said 31-year-old man, every piece of clothing I own, except for my business suit,
yeah,
every piece of clothing I own has been purchased on the internet. Because going into a shop, have you been to a shop and tried on pants?
Oh, I have.
It is incurably inefficient. Because you go to put on a pair of pants and you go, wrong fucking size. And then you need to take them off, put your pants back on, go back out to the shop and scream, pants! At the person until they give you the right size.
That's not usually how I just go and pick them off the rack. I don't scream at people. I don't scream pants anywhere. And then start crying and throw myself on the floor.
Well, look, maybe we've got different approaches.
Well, maybe.
All I'm saying is what I would rather do is buy everything off the internet. A quarter of it comes back unwearable. And then I throw it in the bin.
Yeah, okay. That's a good approach.
Throw it in the bin. I had 3 little chocolates before we started this recording and I have so much energy.
Maybe we should ask our mums to help us shop.
Would you like a chocolate?
Maybe after the podcast.
Oh.
You see, I had to think about that for a moment. But,
I think it's fine. So Lisa refers to the Oakland Raiders as always cheating.
Mm.
And you said, wish I knew more about football. And yeah. I was like, I'll step in here.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I'll do some Googling. In 1989, they were found to be using performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay.
In the 70s, there was a thing called Raidergate. Where apparently someone discovered in the change rooms there was a rule board up on the change rooms. Rule number 1, cheating is encouraged. Rule number 2, see rule number 1.
That seems redundant.
Mm. And then...
why would you need to write that down?
There was a list, because cheating was encouraged. And then there was a list of at least 10 other scandals, but I got bored about reading them. And so I haven't made notes of that one. But
we really go the extra mile on this podcast to give you the information.
The car that I was traveling in went the extra mile, but I had already jumped out of the window.
You only go a quarter mile at a time, so you had to...
Fuck, it's been a while since we talked about Love the Beast.
Yeah, it's been...
1 week since you Love the Beast!
We are planning on doing a Love the Beast episode, by the way.
I don't know
if we've talked about that much. But we did.
We talked about it in our end-of-year wrap-up, I reckon it was. And we specifically asked for people to get in touch and say which version they would prefer, a review or a commentary, and we got literally 0 responses.
Yeah. But we're going to do it anyway.
Which is about what we expected.
Look, when you Love the Beast as hard as you do...
Sure.
I mean, personally, I have not seen Love the Beast, the Eric Bana Carr film starring Dr. Phil.
I was about to say, we should point out, it's the Eric Bana Carr film starring Dr. Phil and Jeremy Clarkson from Top Gear.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno. I got bored about reading about the Raiders. That's my story.
Okay. Well, it's a good story.
Thanks.
We like this season of The Simpsons. Season 3 of The Simpsons has weird views on fatherhood and the role of Homer as a father.
Sure.
Because, again, there's the whole, like, bridging the gap thing where Lisa's expected to bridge the gap. And this is another episode where Homer's just kind of a shit dad without any real repercussions.
Mm.
Like, there's some brief blowback from Lisa, but at the end, Lisa decides she still loves her dad. I was reading a piece yesterday, and now that I've launched into this anecdote, I feel like I should have, like, written down some of the details so I could cite who wrote it or something. But it was somebody who had watched all... 652, I think, episodes of The Simpsons they're up to now.
Sure.
And they watched them, like, within the space of a month, a lot of them sort of in the background, because that's just not
tenable. Is that possible?
I don't know. But one of their takeaways was that they felt like the show consistently will have Lisa episodes where by the end of the episode, everyone's sort of gotten what they wanted except for Lisa.
Right.
I feel like, Lisa kind of gets what she wants in this one in that they go for that one hike up Mount Springfield at the end, mm-hmm. which is what she wanted to do with her dad. But I don't know, that doesn't seem like a full resolution necessarily. You know, her dad's not necessarily going to be more attentive beyond this gesture.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff in here. It feels like a lot of episodes in this period are about Homer doing something bad and then kind of being let off the hook for it.
Yeah, Lisa does cop it quite a bit, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Did the author of that piece, did they draw a parallel to, because Lisa is the academic, intelligent, critical thinking person,
yep,
and because The Simpsons is meant to be a slice of American life,
yep,
did they draw a parallel to American hates intellectual, academic type people?
They did, actually, yes. That's a large part of it.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. I have to find the link to that and try to mention it somewhere.
I know you hate when I do this, but I'm just going to leave for a moment to check what is going on with my air conditioner, because it is fucking warm in here.
All right, I'm going to see if I can find that article. I looked up the piece I was just talking about.
Yes, we're back from our little break.
Yep, it is called I Watched All 629 Episodes of The Simpsons in a Month. Here's What I Learned.
Sure.
The author is listed as KPower3. It is on antihumansite.wordpress.com. Probably easy to just Google the name I just said. Didn't necessarily agree with absolutely everything they said, but I think they made some interesting points.
Sure.
So that was the reference to the thing I was just talking about. Now I want to dig into something here. One of our ongoing theories, there's a little reference in here that I thought was very interesting.
Hmm.
Lisa is asked what her favorite song is, and she says that her favorite song is the Broken Neck Blues. Now, the story and incident at Owl Creek Bridge. You may recall that I've referenced an incident at Owl Creek Bridge before. The most famous death dream story of somebody imagining their whole life moments before they die. How do they die in an incident at Owl Creek Bridge, Nick?
They fell.
They are hanged. Their neck is broken. Could it be Lisa indicating to us, the viewer, that everything we are watching right now is part of one of the early death dreams that we know kicked off?
That is interesting. Because you know what makes me think that you might be right? You know how one of the tests you can do to see if you're dreaming is if you think you're in a dream and you're looking at a book, then you look away from the book, look back. This is that whole lucid dreaming when you can start to control it stuff.
Sure.
And you want to test to see if you're still in the dream. Look away from the book, look back. And if you look back and the content of the page has changed, then you know you're in a dream. Well, I swear.
Wait a minute. I'm just looking at my notes. I'm going to look away. I'm looking back. It's the same. Okay, good.
It's the same. You're not in a dream.
Yeah, even though I thought I was in some sort of parallel universe we established early in this episode.
Yes, but I swear that there are some times watching this episode as a kid where it would have a certain set of teen names for the Super Bowl, and then you'd see it again later, and I swear there were different names. Maybe the whole series, the existence of the series is a dream.
The existence of the... You think we're living inside a dream? But who is the dreamer?
John Lennon? You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
I was just making a very sneaky Twin Peaks reference.
Sneaky Peaks.
Sneaky Peaks, yeah. Welcome back to Sneaky Peaks, my stealth Twin Peaks podcast that I've been hosting inside Pods and the Key of Springfield the whole time.
You're like the dreamer. Dreams. And then lives inside a dream.
Sneaky Peaks.
The glee on your face when I said Sneaky Peaks. Oh, that's going to be my abiding memory of this podcast. Also, I basically wanted to mention that thing that everyone says about this episode, about the redubbing of the teams, but I wanted to find an interesting way to do it, and that seemed like the best vessel.
Is this the one that does the redubbing? I know there's a later episode about the Super Bowl that does it. I'm not sure if this one does as
no,
well.
No, when I went in to check where Lisa the Greek came from in the Wikipedia article, it mentioned this was the redubbing one.
Okay. So when we're talking about Sneaky Peaks, so I'd like to talk more about Jowday, if I may. No, that's okay, I won't. What I would like to talk about are several other things, and I feel like we've gone for a long time in this episode, but I've got a whole page of notes here, so let's run through some of them. These are good notes, I think.
Is Barney Gumble Norwegian?
His mum lives there, I don't know. Maybe she...
Is she Norwegian?
Well, maybe she got a job in Norway.
Sure.
Maybe she's, I don't know, she's like making clogs or just like an accountant.
She's a cloggist.
She could be a cloggist. A clog... Whatever the opposite of a milliner is. A cobbler, I suppose.
Yeah. a clog cobbler. A clogobbler.
At one point in this episode, the second grade class are reading essays titled The Happiest Day of My Life.
Sure.
This is interesting to me because I feel like when I was in year two, about eight, we also had to write pieces on the happiest days of our lives.
Sure.
And I remember being eight and thinking, well, I don't know what the fuck my fucking happiest day was, you pieces of shit. I wasn't quite as sweary.
I mean, you wouldn't have called them pieces of shit.
Yeah. I did eat pieces of shit like them for breakfast.
You would have called them dum-dum heads.
Yeah. But, yeah, they made us do that, I remember. And I remember just writing about, like, a day the previous week that had been okay.
Yeah, because when you're eight, isn't, like, aren't most days the best day of your life?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I had a jam sandwich. Fuck, today really kicked
off. Yeah, by the end of the day, I'm like, you know, it was something unpredictable, but in the end it was right. I've just had the time of my life. And I owe it all to something.
Wonderful.
Da-na-na-na. I mean, now at 31, if I had to sit, I could probably come up with like 15 really good days that I could list out and maybe whittle it down to a best day from there.
Whittle.
Yeah.
One of my favorite verbs. I do not even know where I would start because I am such a cynical husk of a person that if someone said, go write something about your best day, I would spend probably 5 hours coming up with the perfectly acerbic 140-character tweet.
280-character tweet now.
No, I restrict myself to 140 when I want to be super acerbic. to express my disdain for that idea.
At one point, Lisa's imagining her broken future, and Yardley Smith does an older Lisa voice. And it's interesting because older Lisa voice portraying a character probably around, I don't know, 15 years younger than actual Yardley Smith sounds a lot older than Yardley Smith, who actually sounds exactly like Lisa Simpson.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yardley, if you are listening, please come on our podcast.
Yes.
There's a thing here, an ongoing little thing with Lisa and Malibu Stacy that I would like to talk about.
I'm worried we're going to get sued for copyright infringement by the Simpsons Index because this seems a lot like a quickfire notes section.
Well, I just have a lot of things that I want to say about the Simpsons. Thanks. And also Twin Peaks.
Thanks, Dave Strassman's teddy bear.
Now let's talk about...
Well, Dave, I just want to talk about the Simpsons.
I'd like to talk about David Bowie in the Twin Peaks movie, if I may.
I'd like to keep derailing you from that.
So, Malibu Stacy,
sure.
In this episode, Lisa, at the beginning, constructs a little cardboard box, a studio apartment that Malibu Stacy's living in. It's modest, but it's hers. It's very real.
And then Bart throws it into the fire, and Lisa says, what the hell happened to my box?
Exactly. Yes. Now, over time, Homer uses his gambling wins to buy Lisa all kinds of Malibu Stacy goods. All these nice things, yes. All these nicer places for Malibu Stacy to live.
Collagen injection clinic, I believe, was one of them.
Yes, but eventually Lisa realizes the evil that she has gotten involved with Homer's gambling, his ill-gotten gains, and she throws it all away. She takes her books and she throws them away. And
take your collagen injection clinics. Throw them away.
And she's left just with the cardboard box she began with. Now, if we think about Malibu Stacy, we know that Malibu Stacy is based on Stacy Lavelle in this series. She is the woman who created Malibu Stacy and based the doll in part on herself.
Yes.
We also know that Stacy Lavelle was at one point married to Dr. Colossus. She names Dr. Colossus as one of her previous husbands.
Yes, true.
Could it be that the rags to riches, back to rags story of Malibu Stacy in this story, in this episode, directly parallels the life Stacy Lavelle had with Dr. Colossus as her husband, where, you know, they accumulate all this wealth, ill-gotten gain, she's living the high life, but eventually realizes the evils of the man who has given her all of this and has to throw it all away.
Throw it all away.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting theory.
Yeah.
So wait, hang on. Is the rags to riches to rags, is that the Stacy Lavelle story or the Dr. Colossus story or the story of their relationship?
It's the story of their relationship, I believe.
Interesting, because also when we see Dr. Colossus in our favorite scene,
yeah.
Stay away from Mount Doom, but all my stuff's there.
Yes.
He went back to rags at that point again because he couldn't go back to retrieve his stuff from Mount Doom.
He's deeply materialistic. We know that his influence over the show is so great that even these sort of minor background details of these minor background episodes heavily influenced.
What if Colossus, in a revenge plot against ex-wife Stacey Lavelle, found a way to implant all Malibu Stacey dolls with a voodoo doll type element? And I'm just going to caveat this before I go any further. If talking about voodoo dolls and, you know, stabbing and pins and needles and stuff like that, if that has become an offensive term at the point that this podcast is released, I apologize for my ignorance.
Yes.
I know nothing about the voodoo culture and those that practice it. I think it's a religion. I'm not even sure. But you know the thing I mean.
Yes.
Using a doll as a...
as a tulpa.
Okay, that's not the word I was going to expect, but sure, as a J.R. as a J.R. Tolkien, as one of those things, and you take the Lord of the Rings books and you throw them away. I've never seen that movie, but could it be that the rags to riches story that Lisa has done with her own Malibu Stacey is then reflected in the life of Stacey Lavelle as well, because Lisa made it so.
Well, that's a possibility.
You take your little doll and you make it so.
So you think it's like a two-way connection where they
yes.
they both reflect upon each other almost as if...
Effigy, that's the word I wanted.
An effigy, okay. So there's some sort of mirroring of actions happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Lacanian mirror state. Stacey Lavelle recognizes herself in this little scene and she throws it all away.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
She takes her Robin Williams DVDs and she throws them away.
So in this episode, the Washington Redskins win the Super Bowl, and as such, or in this recording of it, I suppose that we have watched the Washington Redskins win the Super Bowl, proving that Lisa loves her dad through some rather spurious reasoning.
Proving that Lisa loves her dad and tolerates racist teammates.
Yes, yeah, but the Redskins, fuck that.
Yeah, I'm. Do you know the lolly Redskins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they rename that at some point, or is it still...
Did they? I don't know.
I could have sworn they have to have, surely, right?
Because I really like Redskins. I mean, I don't eat that many lollies, despite I've had a lot of chocolate tonight. Redskins are really good. The problem with Redskins is you always get to, like, the last bit, and you go, this will be fine. I can pop this in my mouth. My mouth's watering at the idea of eating a Redskin. and you got to pop it in, and then you can't breathe, and you die.
Yeah.
I once left a bag of Starburst snakes in my car, and it was a really hot day. It was like a 45 degree day, and they melted and re-solidified into one big gloop.
Yeah.
And I opened the bag and went, oh, it's one big gloop. Sick. Pulled off a huge chunk, ate it, had to pull over while I was driving because the gloop kind of filled my mouth to the extent where I couldn't act. I legitimately couldn't breathe anymore. I had to pull over and basically... vomit out this Starburst.
That would be the dumbest way to die. Eating a big bag of snake gloop. I mean, look, I've nearly died as well from leaving a bag of snakes in my car overnight. So very different.
I want these motherfucking snakes off this motherfucking car.
If Homer cares about Lisa so much, why does he go to Moe's Bar to watch the game without her?
I don't know.
Okay.
Season 3, episode 15. Have you got... Sorry, have you
The only other note I have here is that Troy McClure describes a show called Handled with Care, where he plays Jack Handel, a retired cop who shares an apartment with a retired crook. That's good. I would watch that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Next episode.
Season 3, episode 15, Homer Alone.
Yeah, so this is the one where Homer's family goes on vacation and accidentally leaves Homer home alone. And he goes, "Aah!" And then he thinks, well, I live alone now. This is cool. I can do whatever I want, but then these two sneaky burglars try to get in, and he lays a series of traps.
I think if you're getting
Donald Trump pops up in the sequel.
I think if you're getting the most important scene of that, no, where Homer picks up that picture and says, "Milhouse, your girlfriend, woof."
Yeah,
yeah.
My first note here is pretend it has Home Alone plot.
Sure, that's good. I didn't do a chalkboard for Lisa the Greek. Because the chalkboard in this one's really good.
Yeah. What is it? It's something about spanking, isn't it?
I will not spank others.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's weird.
Oh. I mean, I mean, in my head, it's great because it says bracket without consent bracket. I mean, the brackets aren't there, but they're implied.
I do think it's an important lesson for Bart to learn.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of important lessons that Bart should... No, that's jumping too far ahead.
No, speaking of important lessons you can take away from anything, this is, to me, an episode without a clear thesis. I had a hard time working out what this episode is meant to be about exactly.
Interesting. It starts with the Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote homage.
Yeah, beep beep.
Which I really quite like. And I had a note here to talk about Rocky Rendezvous, the Sega Mega Drive 2 era video game featuring those two characters. But on the basis that this recording's currently gone for about 45 minutes.
You should probably limit it to like 10 minutes of discussion, yes.
Yeah, Rocky Rendezvous, did you ever play it?
No.
No, it's a good game.
Okay. Like, good enough to be worth talking about, or just...
No, not really. I just remembered it was a game.
Marge, at one point early
fun
in this episode...
Fun little Wile E. Coyote game.
She has to change Maggie. She whips off the diaper. She throws it away. She powders. She puts on the new diaper.
Take all your nappies. Throw them away.
Never once wipes Maggie.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that... I'm not sure if that's something they would want TV...
Look, if the Lion King can show Simba getting his butt cleaned by his mum with her tongue, which we know it does.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up, but you're right.
Yeah.
One of the only...
We can see Marge running a wipe, you know, at least picking it up, running off screen. Like, I want to know that Maggie is being looked after.
I mean, it's...
Because
it's,
this is a whole episode about child negligence, really.
It's reassuring that you are so keen on hygiene.
Yeah. Okay. I am keen on hygiene.
Oh, hi, Al Jean.
Yeah. Al Jean, if you are listening, please look after yourself. Brush your teeth, comb your hair.
Why not start?
Have an apple or a pear. That's a song from a later episode of The Simpsons.
Why not start a cannabis podcast called Hi, Al Jean?
Yeah, okay.
Where you can just talk about little things.
That could be like your sneaky podcast within a podcast.
I don't think I've got enough high Al Jean material to have my little subcast.
I gotta work out a theme song for Sneaky Peaks, an idea that I'm very attached to and have been doing since episode one, I suppose.
That's great.
and I'll sneak you in the branches. It doesn't matter. That blow. I'm not going to do the whole song. In the breeze.
I'm assuming this song has some tie to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Is it the one Nine Inch Nails perform in the bar?
No, that's She's Gone, She's Gone, She's Gone.
She's
away.
In my head. She's gone,
she's gone.
She might be dead.
She is dead. Laura Palmer. So the whole show is about, you know, are you Laura Palmer? I feel like I know her, but sometimes my arms bend back. That's one of the Camp Cope lyrics that you're so close to. Yeah.
Yes, I am. I like that band.
Okay. That has been Sneaky Pigs. Let's get back to Pots and the Key of Springfield.
Fuck. You know the annoying part is that Sneaky Peaks is eventually going to get to a point where it's bigger and more popular than Pods in the Key of Springfield.
As it should be.
And then I'm going to have to let you loose and you can go off with someone else and do your Sneaky Peaks podcast.
Bill and Marty do a prank call in this episode where they call a man up and tell him his wife is dead.
Yep.
My note on this is Bill and Marty prank call is very schnitzy and nitzy or whatever they're called. As I was trying to remember the name of those, you know, shock jocks who are always doing shit like that. I eventually remembered it as Carl and Jackie O. But I think Schnitzy and Nitzy is a better name for that show.
Oh, but Kyle and Jackie O, so that's Australian FM radio shock jock kind of pairing.
To be clear, they do not matter.
They don't, but they have an interesting anomaly in the Australian radio thing, which is it's normally three names, two nicknames, and then
Schnitzy, Nitzy and Bozo, something like that.
Yes, except I think that the typical Australian format for radio is reasonable, like standard name, sound.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Steve-O, Jenny and the Futs.
Yeah.
Or Arthur, Nibbles and the
Puffo, something like that.
Puffo, yeah, sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we once had, here in Adelaide, there was once a radio trio that had a host called Rabbit. Do you remember that?
I remember Rabbit.
It wasn't very good. My note here is that prank calls are fucked, and that they're terrible, and then I'm, and yeah, they're not good.
They're only good if you're, like, calling up a tavern and saying, I want to see more butts. Where's Seymour Butts?
Okay.
Show me the butts.
Seymour Butts is good because it's not going to lead to a nurse killing herself.
Yeah, or like IP freely, which is good because intellectual property is a very serious issue.
That is a good point.
Yeah. So Marge is having a hard time. She doesn't have a great life. She's unhappy. She has a bit of a breakdown. Stops her car in the middle of traffic. Homer is eventually sent to try to calm her down. He gets on the microphone and immediately says they should have sex later that night.
Yeah, interesting tactic.
Kind of inappropriate, I think.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah. 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 There's a lot of stuff in here. I just, I think this is a very weird episode.
I mean, do we take that? I assume we're meant to take that as Homer literally scraping the bottom of the barrel because he realizes there's nothing that he can offer Marge.
And it's the very first thing he goes to.
It's the first thing he goes to.
It's not like, I'm going to help you more at home, or I'm going to be less of a child about things, or I'm going to be open to your needs and concerns. It's like, I could fuck you. That could help everything. Oh, I'm Homer.
Take all your clothes, throw them away. Before we get to Marge's breakdown, the scene in the kitchen where all three are harassing her at the same time, that has one of my least favourite things that TV does, where you get three actors and then you just go, oh, can you just like make a commotion?
Yeah.
Just like badger someone heaps. And then you end up, I hate moments like that because you end up with Homer saying, can you make it double bologna? Make it double bologna. It has to be double bologna. Can it be double bologna? Make it double. And then you have Lisa saying whatever she... Oh, but I need this, 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 but I need this. I really hate the kind of completely pointless, repeated, improvised lines to indicate urgency.
I will say this, though. If it was a modern Simpsons, what if Simpsons modern, or it was a episode of Family Guy, each individual family member would approach Marge separately and do the exact same thing and it would be three times as long.
That's a good point. And it would be the three separately and then they'd come together.
Yeah. And they'd say, okay, cool. That's act one. We're done now.
Come together like Captain Planet.
Come together right now over me.
Sounds a bit salacious.
Yeah, wouldn't recommend it.
Unless you're into that.
Yeah, which I'm not.
That's fine. My next note is heaps further down the episode, so let's go back to you.
Okay, so Marge, she has a issue.
By the way, have you noticed that this episode is going for a very long time, and it's because we're actually discussing The Simpsons for once?
There was a long break in the middle as well, where you had to go and fix the air conditioning or whatever that was.
That's true, but I feel like we're talking more about The Simpsons, but we're also keeping up with our regular level of regular bullshit, which means that the episode is really blowing out.
I'm on board for it. So, and it's funny because these are fairly thin episodes as well.
We're going to have to cut all the Sneaky Peaks stuff.
If anything, I think we need to double down on Sneaky Peaks.
You're like the dreamer. Dreams, and then lives inside a dream.
Sneaky Peaks.
Formerly Chucks.
I hope people get that joke because I don't want to explain it. Just take our word for it that's very funny.
All I'll say is it is a Simpsons related joke.
So, yes, it is.
So if you're not sure, just Google Simpsons related jokes. I'm sure it'll be fine.
So Marge goes on a little personal vacation. She goes to Rancho Relaxo, a 2-star spa. She goes off, she gets on a train.
Rancho Relaxo.
She disappears. Now, to me, it's extremely worrying that Marge does not trust Homer to look after the three kids while she's gone. She intends to have Patty and Selma look after the children, and Maggie only stays because she refuses to leave.
That's a really good point.
There's not even, like, a discussion about this.
Wow.
Marge just takes the kids to Patty and Selma's, even though she's only gone for, like, what seems like a weekend.
Yeah.
Homer doesn't go to work during this episode.
No.
He could have very easily looked after the children if... he was considered competent to do so.
Yeah, I mean, he should be able to.
But he doesn't even suggest it. No. Or seem to think it's a bad idea or, like, want to have the children. This should be setting off the loudest alarm bells imaginable for Marge.
Yeah.
That Homer...
I've never clicked on that.
Yeah, but isn't it fucking weird?
It is weird.
That she sends the kids off to stay with Patty and Selma, which they hate.
Two persons who don't have kids.
Yeah.
As opposed to Homer, who has three kids, who happen to be the kids in question.
Those are his kids, yeah.
Fuck.
But no, and like Patty and Selma, they seem fine having the kids, but Bart and Lisa very clearly do not want to go there and have no real reason to go there.
And how come, because Marge eventually says, well, if Maggie doesn't want to go, she can stay here with you.
Hmm.
How come Maggie's opinion gets listened to when she's the only one that can't voice her opinion?
Yeah, and she says that like it's just occurring to her now, oh yeah, you could look after your child.
Your own child.
Yeah. Who he promptly loses, of course. So this is, there's warning bells going off for me. In this moment.
But not for Marge, apparently.
No. Is this just like, is this a regular thing in the 90s? That like the dad just can't look after the kids for like a weekend?
I feel like it was a regular trope in the 90s.
It's very strange.
Useless dads.
And Homer is a bad dad.
Bad dad.
Yeah.
Bad dad. Bad dad.
Bad dad.
Yeah.
Weird episode.
I had nowhere to go on that riff.
Yeah, like I kept like wanting to take it into a riff from a completely different podcast where they talk about a Gerard Butler film where he plays like a dad who is also a soccer coach, which they call Bad Dad Soccer Dad, but that's not going to fly on this podcast.
Okay.
Which is, of course, Sneaky Peaks. Yeah. / Pods in the Key of Spring Peaks.
Spring Peaks.
So... Marge goes off and she has her little relaxing time and there's like maybe one joke in that entire part of the show.
Mm.
Which is, I don't know.
I think my favourite set of joke, my favourite joke in the Rancho Relaxo bit is, coming up next, a super set of song about clouds.
So I wrote down, what is the erotic awakening of S? And then crossed it out because I realised I had nothing funny to say about that.
Is it based on something?
I don't know, I feel like maybe there is something... I don't know, this is... A lot of this episode doesn't really gel with me. All the material, like, all the Patty and Selma suck material doesn't really work for me that well.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I just don't know what I'm meant to be taking from these characters. It's meant to be, I guess, like, these two women, like, live together and have, like, these sad lives. So that's, like, a trope that doesn't really work for me. I don't find it particularly funny.
Yep.
I think there are good Patty and Selma episodes. I don't think this is one of them.
No.
So, Homer's left looking after Maggie, and he's very bad at it. And Maggie fucks off in search of either Marge or maybe a family of bears who can look after her again.
Sure, yes. Because, family of bears.
Yeah.
It's Call of the Simpson Wild, or whatever that episode is named.
Yeah, it was Ursine Adventures, I think.
Ernest Borgnine Adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So, Homer...
Is that what you were aiming for?
No, Ursine. It's the word for bears.
Oh, yeah, like Ursula Major, the bear constellation.
Yeah, exactly. The big bear. Sure, yeah.
Big bear.
Yeah, Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yeah, yeah, the little the bear.
Yeah. Somebody touch her, his spaghetti.
Goldilocks and the three Ursines, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Maggie fucks right off and is just gone, like, overnight and spends an entire day wandering town... Alone.
Did you ever see the off-brand Care Bears, the Love Ursines? They weren't very good. They weren't very good.
No, I suspect not. I've been to build an Ursine. It's like Build-A-Bear, but much more realistic.
Build an Ursine. That's funny. Oh, that was so good. I'm going to give you an Ursine hug.
Okay, well, what bothers me in this episode is...
I'll tell you what's about to bother you, the fact that I'm about to give you an Ursine hug, because you don't do well with hugs.
I will not be able to bear it. we really like to have fun here. So, Maggie fucks off, she's gone, and Homer starts looking for her, and this seems like Act 3, like most of the episode's done by now. Homer seems not so much concerned about the fact that his child is missing and is probably dead because this is like a 1-year-old who has crawled off
yeah.
and can't fend for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But his main concern is that Marge will be angry at him.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. Like, there's a scene where he is rehearsing ways to announce to Marge that their baby is gone.
Mm.
And it's played for laughs, and it does not work.
Nope.
And this episode is fucking strange.
So, to draw a parallel with the previous episode that we looked at today.
Yep.
Remember I was saying, is Australian betting culture that different? Because there are at least two things I can think of from different countries where the plot is we must keep this hidden from our significant other or they'll be angry.
Yeah.
Is there perhaps a parallel in losing baby culture?
I think in America they say, no, take your baby, throw it away.
Throw it away. With the bathwater.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the culture in America is losing a baby. That's fine. We've all been there. Letting your domestic partner know about it? I wouldn't. I'd keep that hidden if I was you.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a sitcom-y thing, isn't it? Just like the worst thing that can happen to you is your partner finds out about your various indiscretions.
Yes,
I mean, when Homer calls up, he calls the police. He has to be put through to the missing baby section.
Missing baby department. Yeah, there's a whole department for it, Jekyll.
And they put him through, but they are busy enough that he gets the hold music.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. How many babies are going missing in Springfield?
I honestly think that America has a missing baby culture problem that no one's talking about.
Is this some sort of Colossus thing? I don't know.
Fuck, is he training them? Wait, what if Frink's doing the... No, it was Dr. Marvin Monroe.
The Monroe box.
The Monroe box.
Ah.
But Monroe and Colossus teaming up together to put the babies in the Monroe box to train them to become...
Yeah, Colossus, the original Monroe box baby.
The original Monroe box baby.
Hmm.
Huh.
Huh. Interesting.
Huh. Is Maggie okay?
Is Maggie okay? I mean, they find her on top of an ice cream store. How does a baby get up there?
Superhuman strength.
Yep. And they take her back to Homer.
Superhuman strength.
And they're going to arrest Homer, but he overpowers them with his superhuman strength.
Superhuman strength.
Yep. And he kisses Wiggum a bunch, and Wiggum's like, see?
It's a pretty good Wiggum, actually. Yeah. That was great.
Did you notice Wiggum had black hair in the previous episode and blue hair in this one? I feel like this is the first instance of blue-haired Wiggum.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know if that's just trying to establish that in this world some people have blue hair. Because a lot of people have blue hair in The Simpsons.
Take your hair dye, throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
My last note for this, for Homer alone, is that when Marge is in the bath watching Thelma and Louise, which, by the way, I've never seen Thelma and Louise, but I really hope that the line, "Let's get out of here, Thelma, okay?" I really hope that's a genuine line.
As they're approaching the cliff, they say, "We're going to take this car, and throw it away." How many times have I hit that joke? Let's never do it again.
Fuck. You know what we got to do? We got to take that joke. No.
Good.
Thanks. I think that's put enough of a button on it that we never need to do it again. No, when Marge's in the bath and she's got the... For a start, the hot fudge sundae with chocolate chip cheesecake, that sounds pretty good. But the bottle of tequila on the side, not sure if they really go together. But anyway, whatever. It's Marge's party. She'll do what she wants. Nice bathwater foley. Mm. There are some good bathwater sound effects as she's sliding down and then coming back up out of the bath.
Yes.
That was my last note.
That was your last note?
Good sound effects on the bathwater.
Okay.
Threw my book away.
Took your notes and put them aside.
Take your notes. Okay. Put them aside. We need to put that to bed.
We need to put this fucking episode to bed.
Oh my god. And then I'll put myself to bed.
Alright, so this has been Sneaky Peaks. Everyone's favourite Stealth Twin Peaks podcast.
Sneaky Peaks, a subsidiary podcast of Pods.
You're like the dreamer. Dreams. And then lives inside a dream.
Sneaky Peaks.
So, as always, this is the water and this is the well. Drink full and descend. The horse is the wide of the eye and the dark within.
Sure. This is my body. This is my blood. Were you doing the Eucharist?
Don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
You can reach us in all the usual places. Key Springfield Twitter, Pods in the Key of Springfield Facebook. all the other places. We're everywhere. We're ubiquitous. Pods in the Key of Springfield at gmail.com. You can send a carrier pigeon and maybe it'll find us. We can't give you our address or our addresses.
Yes, correct. Otherwise, they could slide into our DMs.
I have open DMs on Facebook. Not Facebook, Twitter.
Has anyone DM'd out Pod's Instagram?
I don't think so, no.
I might have a cheeky look.
But they have that option available to them. So, thank you for listening to our inane bullshit. Home Alone, not great. Lisa the Greek, not bad. This has been an episode of the podcast that you have listened to. Woozer Wuzzle.
Oh, fuck, I have no lines as usual.
Well, Nick, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Can we go again?
Woozer Wuzzle?
It's got three types of cheese!
Wait, are you just referring to the cheese you... No, that was a different person. I hung out with another friend today. Okay, bye.
What, and you bought cheese with this other friend?
Yeah, it was the three types of cheese thing as well.
Oh, well, no, it's because Barney and the omelette. do we need a rear sting?
We already did the sting.
Oh, the sting was at the front, that's right.
I'll pull it off. Won't throw it away. I'll just move it to the back. Wow, we hit that hard.
So hard.
In
Yeah, I saw a thing about the podcast awards that we've been entered into.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, we're not doing that badly, maybe. And then I saw Tony Martin had a podcast in the same category, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, Tony Martin's probably going to beat us, I think. And that he's Tony Martin, and we're...
Mud.
Tony... where am I going with? We're Tony... what rhymes with Martin?
Farton?
Tony Farton? No, I don't think that's good enough.
Tony Barton. Little Bart. Little Bort.
Little Bort.
Little Bort.
We're Tony Bartfins. Like Bart fans. Bartfins.
But, like, Bart has fins? Like a shark?
He
like
would be, you know that episode where he turns into Shark Boy?
Shark Simpson.
Shark Simpson?
Sure. The 12th character of The Simpsons.
See, this is why we're not going to beat Tony Martin. As we come up with Shark Simpson.
I don't think Tony Martin holds a fucking candle to this.
Tony Martin, if you are listening, we would love to have you on the podcast. If you have any memories about The Simpsons, maybe you read the comics back in the day, maybe you... have watched an episode, maybe you, like me, long for the days of your youth, happily watching the show.
Or maybe you just want to come on the podcast and tell us the story about the time Ed Cavalli got electrocuted on your radio show.
I would love to hear that story as well, but on our podcast, even though it's widely available, I'm sure.
It is, but...
Maybe we could do the, do some of your classic bits from the Eat Your Peas album.
Ah.
Me Plums.
Where's Me Pint?
Where's Me Pint? We could talk about The Bag of Sawdust. Tony Martin, that's a good album. Thank you for listening. If anyone else is still listening to this, thank you as well.
Is that The Bag of Sawdust that runs for an election with racist slogans painted on it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, excellent. And then that won the 2016 American election, right?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Honestly, that was a bag of shit.
Yeah.
Whoops.